Amen. That's a wonderful song. Appreciate that good special, Miss Beth. Take your Bibles in Proverbs chapter number 12 again tonight, and we'll continue our series in the book of Proverbs. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in our series, but the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book, and I trust that you make it a part of your regular Bible reading. If you don't really know where to start in reading your Bible, I encourage you to maybe start with reading the Proverbs a day. If you were to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs, most months it'll line up. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and it'll line up to where you read a Proverbs a day. By the end of the year, you've read it 12 times. That ought to help you to become more and more more like Christ and be wise. It's the book of wisdom. And so I encourage you to do something along those lines. But we come to chapter number 12 tonight, and we have looked at so many different pillar principles from the book of Proverbs. Most of the book is written by Solomon, which is the wisest, wealthiest man that ever lived. And most of the book is written geared towards his son. A lot of the chapters begin with "my son," and he is trying to impart wisdom to his son. He's trying to help him avoid some of the mistakes that he made, and all of us as parents can understand that, can't we? We try, as our children are growing up and they get older and older, we're trying to impart as much advice and wisdom and just things that we've learned sometimes from the school of hard knocks to try to help our children avoid those things. And although we want that for our children, God wants that for His children. He wants it for each and every one of us. And there's still many things that we as adults need to learn. And so we'll look at Proverbs chapter number 12, give you another thought from the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth the favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to him, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of the beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, and he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief." Notice this: lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunger, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. And the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. You see there in verse number 19, the Bible says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach a message entitled this: lying lips always lose. Lying lips always lose. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that you would please bless the reading of your word. I pray that you'd bless the preaching there to follow. Lord, I need your help. I need your touch, Lord, tonight. Lord, in and of myself, I'll fail you and I'll fail these good people. And so, God, I yield myself to you. I ask that you would please preach through me tonight. Lord, may you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, God. We need your help by your spirit to understand your word. And so, God, we ask that you would please help us tonight, illuminate the truth of your word to us so that we can be better servants for you. God, help us to examine our lives. Help us to be honest. Help us to tell the truth. God, just a principle here from your word that's as old itself, but God, it's something that we all tend to struggle with from time to time. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Some famous American lies, all right? Are you ready for these? Here's some famous American lies. First of all, the check's in the mail. That's a lie. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Come on. We service what we sell. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Some of y'all have maybe experienced that. Money cheerfully refunded. I like this one. One size fits all. This offer limited to the first 100 people. If you call now. Your luggage isn't lost, it's only misplaced. Leave us your resume and we'll keep it on file. I like this one. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I just need 5 minutes of your time. That's what the telemarketers like to tell you. Your table will be ready in a few minutes. Oh, this is a good one. Open wide, it won't hurt at all. This is a lie. Let's have lunch sometime. And then this one. It's not the money, it's the principle of the matter. Listen to this. First somebody told it, then the room couldn't hold it, so the busy tongues rolled it till they got it outside. Then the crowd came across it and never once lost it, but tossed it and tossed it till it grew long and wide. This lie brought forth others, dark sisters and brothers and fathers and mothers, a terrible crew. And while headlong they hurried, the people they flurried and troubled and worried, as lies always do. And so evil-bodied, this muster lay goaded, till at last it exploded in smoke and in shame. Then from mud and from mire, the pieces flew higher and hit the sad victim and killed a good name. There's a lot of truth in that poem, ain't it? Nobody likes those that tells lies. A liar, someone that can't be trusted to tell the truth. You know what liars are good for? Telling lies. That's it. They're good for telling lies. As children, our parents taught us very early in our youth to tell the truth, to always be honest. And that is something that we ought to teach our children. You ought to be teaching your children now that you always tell the truth to mom and dad, but you always tell the truth in general. You see, it is our natural inclination to want to lie. Truth doesn't come natural. We're bent towards evil. You know how I know that? Immediately in the Garden of Eden, Eve, when she was confronted, what did she do? Lie. It's our natural inclination to tell a lie. And as long as we live in this stuff called flesh, we're going to continue to lie. We're capable of sinning. You see, but although it's our natural inclination to lie, it doesn't mean it's right. Although it's common, doesn't mean that it's something that we just let slip by. It's something, lying is something that always has to be combated with. It's something that always we have to fight against. We have to fight against telling a lie. We have to fight against stretching the truth. We have to fight against little white lies, as we call them. You see, it's important that we understand this. Abraham Lincoln said this, "No one has a good enough memory to be a successful liar." You see, the problem with telling a lie is you have to tell another lie to keep up with that lie, and the cycle continues. You see, lying lips always lose. And in our passage of Scripture, the wise Solomon is teaching us that we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. We've got to be careful of always telling the truth. You see, it's far better to tell the truth in every scenario. It's always far better than that. So let me give you a few thoughts about lying lips always lose. First of all, I want you to understand this. Lies are common but costly. Lies are common but costly. In verse number 12 of our text, the Bible says this: the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. It's our human nature to naturally, immediately go to telling a lie or stretching the truth, or we call it exaggerating the story. That's ultimately a lie. To exaggerate to exaggerate what is the truth, that is a lie. And if you meet a fisherman and they tell you the fish is this big, chances are it's this big, okay? Unless it's mine, all right? If you see a picture posted, chances are the deer is not quite that big. Unless it's mine. No, I'm just playing. That's the lie. God help me. Listen, and although it's common for us to tell lies, it's always costly. We must fight against what is natural. We must fight against what is common. A person that fails to tell the truth will always struggle in life. You know why? Because there's no opportunity for trust to be built. Trust is built over time. I don't immediately expect you to trust me if you've just first met me, but over time, trust ought to be built. But when you lie about something, what happens? All that trust is lost. It takes a long time for it to be rebuilt. It takes months and maybe even years for the trust to be rebuilt. Lies, although they are common, they're costly. As a child, our parents taught us to tell the truth. Our parents taught us not to lie. And as I've said, you ought to be teaching your children that. You ought to not let your children get away with telling lies or stretching the truth. You need to call them out on that, Mom and Dad. Because lies, they're common, but they're costly. If you don't call them out on that on a young age and correct that early, they'll carry that on up into adulthood. And they'll find themselves lying to their teachers. They'll lie to the authorities. They'll lie to their employer. It's important that we correct the lying. In marriage, there is no place for secrecy. No place for lying. No place for stretching the truth or telling half-truths. It's important for us to be truthful with our spouse. In ministry, it's important for me to be forthcoming with you, to tell the truth. And the same is true for you, with me. It's important for us to tell the truth. Ultimately, you must always tell the truth to God. Sometimes we fail to do that, don't we? God already knows everything about us, and you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and God deals with something. He corrects. He's trying to deal with something in your life, but instead of you wanting to correct that, you tell a lie to God and say, God, I'm okay. Instead of addressing it head on and just agreeing with God what he's already convicted you about and saying, God, I recognize that that's in my life. I need to get that right. Can you imagine how God feels whenever we try to lie? I mean, he knows the truth about all of us. He knows everything that we think and we do. And when we, as his child, tries to mumble up some kind of lie, he's got to just look in heaven and just be so disappointed in us. Many of you parents maybe have caught your children in a lie, and you know you busted them. And what's your natural inclination? You're disappointed in them. Maybe you'll eventually be mad and you want to correct that. But you're disappointed. You expect more out of them. Your child ought to have more character, have more integrity about them. And God's got to feel the same way about us. You know, and although God knows when we tell a lie, he also knows when we tell the truth. Even though it's going to cost us to maybe tell the truth, God knows that. And just as much as you maybe have caught your child where they could have went either way, and you're happy when they tell the truth, God's got to be happy when we decide to tell the truth as well. The Bible says, go with me to Proverbs chapter number 6. We'll read these passages. We didn't necessarily preach on this when we were in Proverbs 6, but verse number 16 of chapter number 6, the Bible says this: these six things doth the Lord hate. Well, that's a strong word. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Multiple times, not just one time, multiple times he mentions the lying tongue. It's God's hate list. And on number two, he says, a lying tongue that I hate. The Bible says in our text in Proverbs 12, verse number 13, it says this, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, and the just shall come out of his trouble. Lies are common among men, but they're costly. And so I guess number one, we need to tell the truth. Lies number two, not only are they common and are costly, number two, lies must be confronted, not considered. Lies must be confronted. Not considered. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, the way of a foolish is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There's people all throughout the Bible that are known for different things. You mention somebody's name in the Bible, and you immediately have something that you think of. We mentioned David, he's a man after God's own heart. We mentioned Daniel, we talked about how he stood in the face of adversity. You mentioned all different people of the Bible. Some are known by their actions, others by their amazing faith, and some are even known by their works, but there's some that are known just simply by their lies. Go with me to Acts chapter number 5, if you would. Acts chapter number 5, and we're going to read of a couple that were known for telling a lie. Go with me to Acts chapter number 5. Let's read of a couple of people here in the New Testament. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 5, and in verse number 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. So he dies, okay? That's what he does there. And great fear came on all them that heard these sayings. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon any as heard these sayings. Ananias and Sapphira, they had a possession that they sold. We're not told exactly what they sold, but they sold something and they connived together and said, we're only going to say we sold it for this much because we want to keep back some for ourselves. They were supposed to give it all unto the Lord according to this passage of Scripture. God only wants you to give 10%, really, is what He asks of you, your tithe. But I don't necessarily know what the possession was, but they were supposed to give it all to the Lord. I don't know if that was some kind of agreement ahead of time or what the case may be, but they decided to keep back some of it. And 3 hours before, Ananias, man, he holds true to the story. He tells the lie. And he dies immediately. 3 hours later, his wife comes in. And I can just imagine, man, she's high rolling, got the money from the possession. She's bringing it in. And the apostles meet her at the door and said, did you sell it for this much? She said, yes, sir. And they said, you've connived together. And she dies. And we may look at that and say, man, God's cruel. Why would God kill somebody over a lie? And to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not God. But he did. You know what it tells me? He takes it very seriously. He takes it very seriously. He hates it. And we ought to hate it as much as God hates it. We ought to hate dishonesty. God hates it, and so should we. When someone is suspected of telling a lie, according to this passage of Scripture, they must be confronted about it. Amen? We live in a world where people don't have to take any responsibility for their actions. They're allowed to do as they please, lie their way through life, and we're supposed to just accept it and move on. And to be honest with you, that becomes common in our day. I mean, you don't have to watch the news very long to realize it's just full of a bunch of liars. You don't have to be a part of a society very long to realize people just lie their way. They stretch stories. Just call them on it. I don't want to be a part of someone's lie. I want to be known for telling the truth. And if I am caught in a lie, I expect it to be confronted, as you should expect it as well. Why? Because lying is a sin. Lying's a sinning. And the Lord takes it quite seriously. Let me give you the final thought tonight. Not only do we see lies are common, but costly. Lies must be confronted, not considered. But according to this text, lies always lose and truth always triumphs. Look at the verse in chapter 12 of the book of Proverbs. Go back there with me if you're not already back there. Proverbs chapter number 12. Lies always lose and truth always triumphs. Verse number 19, the Bible says this, "The lip of truth shall be established forever." That's a promise. "But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." When we tell a lie, we seem as if we've got away with it, don't we? For a moment. That's what the Bible says. Lying lips are but for a moment. In that moment, we're smooth sailing. But all it takes is just another moment in a situation to where they even have to lie again. Truth always triumphs. The Bible says the lip of truth shall be established forever. When we speak the truth, even though it may cost us at the time, it's always better. It's always better. Why? Because there's just freedom that comes from living life in telling the truth. There's a freedom that comes over you in living your life as an open book. Not having any secrets. Not telling any little lies. Not exaggerating the story to where you have to then try to remember what you came up with. There's just freedom in living that way. Living your life as an open book. Because notice what the Bible says again in verse number 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Think about that. An abomination, it's the greatest level of disgust to the Lord. I mean, it's the greatest level. But delight is the greatest joy. And so God's saying here, He's saying, if you lie, I hate what you've done. But when you tell the truth, it brings me much joy. He delights in us telling the truth, church. He delights in us being honest. And ultimately, the message is very simple tonight. I challenge you to tell the truth in everything. It's not our natural inclination to do so. We get confronted with something, or we get caught in something, we're naturally trying to scramble for what story we're about to create. But God just says, just own it, tell the truth, and as a result, I'm going to be very proud of you. I'm going to be very proud of you. It may cost you in the moment. There may be some discipline that has to come, boys and girls. You tell the truth to mom and dad. There may be some discipline that has to come for being honest, but I promise you, it'll be far better in the long run if you'll tell the truth. We got to be honest. The title says this, "Lying lips always lose." We ought to commit to be honest, church. We ought to commit to be honest with one another. Ought to be honest about, honest to one another, yes, but honest to the Lord as well. When God speaks to your heart and He's trying to help you correct something in your life, we ought to be honest with Him and say, God, I agree. Not, I'm okay, but I agree, Lord. I confess that sin. I forsake that sin. But liars, they always have just a rebuttal. And sometimes they'll tell the truth all the way till it's completely over. Honesty requires character. You know what I learned? I've learned this. It doesn't take any talent to be truthful. It just takes character. It doesn't take any talent. And when you grow old, that's one of the greatest things somebody can say about you. He's a man that keeps his word. He's an honest man. He's a man of integrity. That's one of the greatest compliments somebody can give you. So just think about your life tonight. Do you struggle with lying? Do you struggle with telling the truth? Is it immediately your first inclination to try to stretch something? Let's just own it and say, nah, I can't do that no more. That has to constantly be combated because we live in this stuff called flesh. And it wants us to try to always make ourselves look good. So, church, I encourage you tonight. Let's tell the truth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Very simple truth.